Okay, I call the meeting today to talk about a possible purchasing of a piece of equipment. We have somebody in Arnold that's moving out of state that approached me and let me know that he had his mini excavator up for sale. So today I'm just trying to see if the board would be okay with the purchase. I have quite a few things we can show here on the cost, some of the cost savings that we could have, the uses of it, and then a comparison of other excavators. So why don't we go ahead and we'll start with a little slideshow.
Could I make just a quick comment before you even get started? That being associated with deer, and there is a deer associate sales guy who has a place here in Arnold. And I can tell you that from deer's standpoint, there is no used equipment available. As soon as a piece rolls onto any dealer's lot, it's gone. So, and I assume that Kubota and other suppliers are experiencing the same thing. So I know that it's critical to move quickly. And that would be my only opening comment.
So previously, a few years back, when we were actually shopping around for a piece of equipment, it was right around when COVID hit, PG&E had bought up most of the backhoes in the state. And for the budget we were trying to stay around, you weren't going to find anything that we needed. So this all got kind of stopped. And anyway, this person approached me, letting me know that, he was moving away and he had a piece of equipment for sale. And if we were interested in purchasing it, I let him know we had to have a meeting. And so that's why we're here today. So yeah, sorry, the photos. So without Jeff knowing, it is a John Deere piece of equipment. This is pictures of the actual piece of equipment. It only has 600 hours on it. So it just had its first maintenance of oil changes, filter changes, right at about 500 hours. So here's the California CARB compliant, showing that it's California compliant.
Oops.
It does have a thumb on it, which is an extra, and that's the 18-inch bucket that's currently attached to it. It's just showing, I was just trying to show how clean the motor was. He also kept it stored in a shop. Next one. He kept it stored in a shop, so it's very well taken care of. He also was a retired firefighter, so he only used this as some side work. It did not get used heavily as some pieces of equipment have. These are two extra buckets that come with it. One is a 30-inch grading bucket. It's valued at around $3,000. The other is a 12-inch digging bucket, which is about $1,400. That's what I'm doing. And this is the trailer that he's including with it. And this trailer is an 18-foot trailer. It's valued at almost $15,000. So that was one of the first times when we were originally looking at purchasing a piece of equipment. Getting the trailer was a big part of the cost. And that's why we just kind of halted on a mini excavator. So, yeah, and so that's it for the photos of the equipment in the trailer and the extras that come with it. And then once you sell, yeah. So this first paper is just a cost comparison of other excavators that I was looking at or finding online. And as Jeff said, there was nothing in California. All these were others were in different states, Iowa, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Alabama, with varying hours and varying costs, but they do not come with trailers. They don't come with one there doesn't even have a thumb, and they don't come with any extra buckets. So showing that the one that we're looking at is the first one on there, the 2019 John Deere 26G. He would like $40,000 for it. It has 602 hours, comes with a 12-inch tooth bucket, a 18-inch tooth bucket, 30-inch grading bucket, and the 18-foot PJ flatbed trailer with toolbox and tie downs. Those extras are valued in the ballpark of $20,000 to $21,000.
And you're getting it all for 40?
Yep.
And then the next one is
The next one is the cost comparison. So this is what I've kind of worked up with cost comparison. I called, or I had Lee contact Allied Insurance, and we got a quote for the what the insurance costs will be for the tractor and the trailer. And they quoted us for $1,200 annually for both. At 500 hours, the maintenance costs $766. With the equipment being approximately 4 years old, the annual maintenance cost, if you call it that, or once every 4 years, it's $192 annually, or $766 over 4 years. Fuel costs. We have a fuel tank at the treatment plant with a gas pump that currently runs the generator that's there. So we have large bulk deliveries of diesel that come to the treatment plant. It could run us, depending on how much we use it, obviously, would run around $200 to $700 annually, depending on how much usage we use for. So the annual upkeep and operating costs are valued at about $1,800 or $1,792.
So where would you store this?
We have an underhang in the back of the treatment, or on the side of the treatment plant, in between a shipping container, and then there's a lean-to that goes over, so we would park it underneath that to stay out of the sun.
So it's not out of the weather?
It's not 100% out of the weather. We'd have to wall in one side of that, which that's doable if we would like, and then we could make it like a carport, or we could wall in two sides of it, and then you would have a fully enclosed spot to place it inside.
So what would you have to do to secure it against theft?
It has its own keys and theft deterrence as it sits. If it wasn't loaded up on the trailer, you would have a heck of a time getting it jump started and somehow loading it up.
So you wouldn't keep it on the trailer?
No, that would be the plan. Would be to take it off the trailer and park it inside the carport. Just for probably that same security reason, I wouldn't want somebody to be able to break in the treatment plant and then hook up to it and drive away. The other that is on it is a GPS locating device that we can go back to Deer and they can locate exactly where it's at.
You're not going to need the trailer very much, are you? Won't you pretty much motor it around as needed?
Well, if it was at the treatment plant, yes, but anywhere else, if we had to drive to Cypress Point Pump House, it'd be quicker to put it on the trailer, move around, or going back to the Patricia Moran walkout, that's almost on the other end of the subdivision from where the treatment plant is, it would be quicker to load it on the trailer and drive it around. That was always the one we were worried about with a excavator, is that I think it's top speed, even when you go to mobile, it's about 1.5 miles an hour. It's not very fast.
Okay.
And then just some of the cost savings we had over the last 3 years, we've had watchouts, each costing in the ballpark of about $15,000 per occurrence. So about $45,000 over the last 3 years has been spent repairing the ditches, replacing road base, and reshaping the ditch. With the minusing the cost of the road base, because of course we still have to repurchase road base to put back into those, we have an approximate savings of $11,000. Possibly more savings with performing preventative maintenance to those areas that are prone to washouts. And then the other is that we can perform the additional, or as we call them, additional projects, the other cut and caps from the old main and the new mains. There's currently around 20 of those. We have four services that still need to be relocated from old mains that we're going to just kind of hold off on. And then we have four bare lots that do not have a box that we'll have to dig down to the main, put a saddle on the main, and then dig a service lateral to install a box. The cost, when we had Mazingo come out to do the fill-ins from one of the washouts, and their typical cost that they've quoted me in the past for one operator and two laborers, which is exactly what we have down at the treatment plant right now, is $5,000 a day. So with 20 cut and caps, four services that would be moved, and another four to install, you're looking at least 2 weeks worth of hiring another contractor to come in one day. And the quotes I had from Zingo were about $5,000. So that's quite a substantial saving or possibility of savings if we were to go this route. So the last one was just areas that we could be using a piece of equipment to help out the guys, help out with speed, and being able to do more in a day than we can typically do with just a shovel. So,
can you, Kathy, can you make that a little bigger?
Yeah. Let me just figure out where I do that.
It's, it'd be right behind your, mm-hmm. It's behind your black in the fighting area.
I can lean in. No, don't worry. I can lean in.
Hey, Jeff, just go like this on your screen.
There we go.
Look at the IT guy. Okay, I got it.
Okay, so one is the ability to repair the mains and accessories. Being able to react immediately to making a fix instead of having to go out to one of the local contractors and call them in on an emergency, depending on what time of night it is or weekends or availability. They may not be able to show up right away to help us fix it. Obviously lessening the strenuous labor of the crew. Currently they're backfilling, old PRV vaults that are behind homes. And they're shoveling 2 yards of road base at a time into a dump bed trailer and then unshoveling that into a wheelbarrow and walking it over and pouring it in a hole. It takes most of the day to do one bolt right now. There's also, we can quicken the repair times, enable the crew to manage other or more work sites, and obviously do a lot more in one day than currently can be done with hand tools. Then also saving the money and time by hiring a subcontractor for those repairs. Oh, yeah. The cut and capping of old mains, as I said earlier, there's 20 cut and caps. We wouldn't have to hire a contractor with equipment to complete those, and we would be able to relocate service mains and services at a faster pace. There's also the ability, which has a lot, if you've ever driven around, Andy, in front of your house is even one of the spots we need to work on, is clearing out the gravel from the ditch and making sure that water stays away from our road base. So the ability to clear drainages and ditches immediately to prevent further damage to the pipe. Also a good example is the Patricia Moran washout. When Vince and I showed up on New Year's Eve night, Patricia had only washed out by morning. All of Patricia had walked out, and you could see the blue pipe. And by that afternoon, Moran started to wash out. If we would have had some sort of piece of equipment to try to reach down to the county culvert to clear it, we could have responded to that a little faster, maybe mitigated the damage that was done. Another reason to have it would be moving rock and soil to and from the job sites, quickening the repair time. And just as I said earlier, all that is done right now with hand tools. Nope. And then removing the rock and soil from the job site, quicken it, lessen the strenuous of the crew. It looks like you did doubled up there. So there's back to more cutting calves. The other that we could use it for is help with the snow removal, assisting with the snow removal at the treatment plant and Cypress Point pump house where there's limited room. Currently, we push the snow up to the edge of the fence, and then it slowly, especially this winter, it gets tighter and tighter and tighter until we have nowhere to put the snow. If we had a piece of equipment that could dig into the snow, lift it, throw it over the fence, it would take the damage off of the fence, as well as being able to keep those areas wider. And the same as that Cypress Point pump house, there's just nowhere to really put the snow. So it just gets tighter and tighter and tighter, and it could help with the removal of those locations. As well as it could help remove snow berms once they've been put in place. Typically in the wintertime, if the county or whoever it might be has a snow berm over the top of one of our valves that we have to get to shut down a leak, it's quite time consuming to be able to chip away at an ice berm to be able to get to the valve and shut off the water. So that's pretty much the most things that I could think of off the top of my head that we could use that for in the next upcoming years. It also could help save that last one on overtime by having another guy operating the piece of equipment. It does have a small blade in the front as well as the bucket to help remove with snow removal and save a little bit on overtime by, you know, having two pieces of equipment instead of just a plow truck and having a guy work basically all night moving snow with the plow truck.
So what sort of training is required to certify an operator?
There is none for this size of piece of equipment. If it was a much larger piece of equipment, you would need to get an operator's license. But the 6,000 pound capacity that it is, it does not require a certification of any sort. Tim did do the training at his mountain resorts that he worked at for heavy equipment. I've operated heavy equipment for 15 plus years, and Wes has also operated heavy equipment in the past. If the board would like, we can obviously set up some sort of training or certification program to make sure the guys are properly trained in operating this piece of equipment. They would have to go into wearing hard hats for safety-wise. Insurance, I'm sure, would also require that, and reflective vests while they're operating this piece of equipment. And currently, with money to be able to purchase it, we are approximately $78,000 in a surplus in the operating reserve, as well as we have a little over $800,000 in the operating accounts. So we are very sound as far as financial ego on this, and we can definitely afford the piece of equipment. And I feel we do have the justification for the piece of equipment. I think in the long term, it could definitely save the company quite a bit of money by investing into this piece of equipment, as well as the value in these, as Jeff has stated, it stays. It doesn't decrease very much because they are hard to come by. If there was a point that we decided that the company no longer needed this piece of equipment or we needed the money instead, it would be easy to sell off and move on. It's not like a car that's going to depreciate quite a bit over the years.
It's also a top-rated piece of equipment. It rates all of the John Deere construction and forestry equipment, the yellow stuff, competes, you know, face-to-face with Caterpillar, which generally gets the number one rating in the construction business because of the breadth of their offering.
So, Jeff, are you going to put your hat back on, that sales hat that you won?
No, I'm gonna, no, Andy's right. You know, I've got tons of green ones, you know.
He sounds kind of biased.
I'm just ready to make a motion.
I did talk to three local excavator company owners, and they all recommended that they would purchase a deer if they had to purchase a new excavator or mini excavator. Those would be the brands that they would look at. It's definitely a top piece of
I always try and tell people when I'm selling this stuff that it's not just how the equipment operates, it's the availability of parts. And deer has always been number one in providing service after the sale in the way of getting parts to you in 24 hours if you need them.
Yeah, and we have a very large distributor down in French Camp, Pape, as most people would know. They are a John Deere distributor, as well as they do the maintaining there. We needed to send it down there for something more than just a typical oil change.
Pape is the largest John Deere distributor in the country, and they acquired Valley Truck and Tractor 7 branches, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago now. It's when you started seeing the John Deere ads on television approaching the retail market more. So, you know, you've got the service behind the purchase too. That piece is a great, great distributor.
So what did this piece of equipment cost new?
New in that cost comparison, that one there was, I think it only had about 30 hours or less. Can you show that?
One of them was very, very new.
2022 with 30 hours on it, and is located in Alabama, and it's $44,000.
And that's without all the other equipment, the trailer and the other buckets,
no
right?
No other buckets, toolbox, tie downs. So that's typically what I was finding brand new or newish is about $44,000,
$45,000.
Okay. So this has been through 600 hours so far for its first major service. What's the expected lifetime of a well-maintained piece of equipment like this? How many hours?
Thousands of hours. It really just depends on the operator operating it and how well you take care of it. But I mean, you're looking, I've seen pieces of equipment with numerous thousands of hours.
It looks like brand new. That's
mm-hmm. There might be one little scratch on the black and on the buckets. Beyond that, it looks brand new.
You know, I haven't been around list prices for several years, but my guess would be that brand new in the neighborhood of $50,000 without any of those extras.
Yeah.
Without the extra buckets, without the grading bucket, you know, and of course the trailer's aftermarket.
Okay, I'll jump ahead and say and make a motion we purchase.
I'd second that.
I would add a qualifier or two to it. One, I think, the staff needs to be fully trained, you know, from a liability and workers' comp perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, storage is something that I'm still concerned about. So I think, some serious thought needs to be given to, you know, how best to store this equipment as opposed to just leaving it outdoors.
The best way to store it is in a locked facility for sure, for security.
You know, we hear all the time about, you know, construction equipment going missing up here.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, they've gone into the.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No, they just, you know, talk to the maintenance guys at Blue Lake Springs. You know, they've gone in at night, cut the chain, taken off catalytic converters, you know, working in the dark. They've got plenty of resources to steal with, you know. The best way is to have it completely out of sight and in a mm-hmm. locked garage.
So
you know, what are we at? What are we at, you know, to build that kind of a garage to enclose in what you're going to put it in on all four sides with a reasonably good lock on it.
You would have to put in one shear wall in the rear and then, of course, some sort of bay door in the front. Then you'd have to install that around that carport. Currently at the treatment plant, we do have lighting that stays on all night. We have security cameras, and we have all of our SCADA alarms. So if somebody touches anything at that treatment plant, even up at the gate, it pages the guy on call, and then secondary, it pages me at home. So I know when somebody is doing anything at Blue Lake Springs, the tanks, the treatment plant, any of those spots. But if it pleases the board today to do some more work at the treatment plant by keeping it a little more secure, that way we can go that route. The other, which I really wouldn't trust though, is we could rent some sort of large storage unit over here behind Dunbar and store it in there. But I don't know if their security would be much better than ours, especially if we added a bay door and a shear wall in the back. You wouldn't be able to go in there without lifting that bay door, which would sound an alarm.
Well, you've got, you know, in addition to the security issue, you've got just the weathering issue, you know, sitting, you know, I understand, you know, a carport provides some protection, but, you know, it's, you know, given the fact that we just went through a period of, you know, pollen being an inch deep on everything and then, you know, 18 feet of snow and all that stuff, you know, if we're going to spend this kind of money, I'd like to, you know, suggest we spend a little more money and make sure it's protected both from a security as well as from a environmental standpoint.
Okay. And that's a definite possibility. I can either bring forward some sort of presentation and pictures from the treatment plant at our next board meeting and show you some ideas on how to wall in that area, so we don't have to go purchase, say, a new Connex or build an entire building for this piece to be stored in. We should be able to just put up those two walls, one being a bay door and the other being a shear wall leading to the rear of the treatment plant. I think that would be very secure that way. There's, like I say, there's lots of alarms, and we can tie in the doors into SCADA, where if anybody goes into there, we'll know that somebody's in there.
What about the drive-through there at the bank?
It would be just like that, except we have right now a metal Connex on the outside edge. But yeah, the drive-through here at the bank, you could do almost that same thing. Put up two shear walls, one facing Dunbar, one facing the fire department, and then put a bay door on the front with some sort of alarm on it, and you could store it in there too. And then the guys would also have some sort of workshop, you could call it. Currently, their workshop is in the treatment plant next to the filter. But
wouldn't having it on site be more advantageous than having it off site where you've got to go get it to do something quickly?
Yeah, that's why I would rather have it at the treatment plant, but here at the office, it's not much farther. I think we're talking about a mile or less. And then it would be secured right here next to the fire department, which you'd have some sort of security with that as well. If a security alarm starts sounding off, they're going to hear it right away.
So where would you put the trailer? So if we had the excavator in, you know, at the treatment plant or down at the office, someone has to attach the trailer to the truck, which I'm sure you guys all know how to do, but how do you keep that safe from the elements too if you're having a big snowstorm? Because it's not in that same area?
It wouldn't be so safe from the snow. Currently with like the metal trailer we have, we have it stored outside. And we have to dig it out, pull it out, clear out snow, and then we park them back where they were sitting.
Okay.
Well, if you use the drive-through there at the bank, you could probably leave it right on the trailer.
You could, and then we could put some sort of locking device where the ball goes, so you couldn't just come in there and hook up to it and drive off. You'd have to take some time cutting away locks and obviously alarms to get it out of there and steal it.
So is the seller willing to take anything less than 40?
No, I don't believe so.
He'd be a fool to take less than 40.
It's an extremely good deal with the piece of equipment being worth all of $40,000 by itself, and then he's giving us the flatbed trailer and the extra buckets to go with it, and we're looking at something that could be in the $60,000 range if we were to go try to purchase it or more.
If you could find it.
Yeah. Right.
If you could find what?
If you could find the excavator.
Oh.
There is none in California.
Yeah.
You might find one in Oregon or Washington. Where were they? But you don't know where.
Well, let me make
you're getting a chance at this before it hits the market.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me take a chance on separating the issue of, is it a good idea to purchase this from the idea of how do we secure it? I think it's, to me, it looks like it's a good investment. And that's what I would like to put forward, a motion to purchase. The second question is, how do we secure it? Once we purchase it, that can be an issue that we can discuss at any length we want. But should we purchase it? I think so.
Second.
All right. Should we vote? Are you guys ready to vote? The board?
I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's taking so long?
I don't know. Kathy, you could do a roll call. I just want to make sure.
Jeff
Jones? Here.
Yes. I mean, vote. Yes. Or vote. No. Yes. You're voting for the purchase.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Aye.
Bruce Etter?
Yes.
Aaron Tobias?
Yes.
Andy Rich?
Yes.
So motion carries. And I agree that I think at the July meeting, Tyler, if you could come to the board with a suggestions of how to protect our investment.
Okay.
Both security wise and environmental. I'm concerned about it getting damaged by the elements. So
that's my concern too. That's why we would first off park at a treatment plant underneath the underhang, and then we can always a tarp for now, but for more security and more protections from the elements, we probably should look at what Andy was suggesting, some sort of bayed garage, whether it's here or at the treatment plant. I would have to, once the equipment is there, do some measurements to see how well it'll fit under the underhang of the treatment plant on the trailer. That's another reason why we would take it off. Or here, you have plenty of elevation there to store it in that, but it would just be how much is it going to cost to wall it in.
Right.
Give you a little background information on how long deer equipment lasts. The logo that you see on that piece of equipment is the latest logo. It's what we call the leaping deer with the big thighs. That logo has evolved over the last 80 years. And you know, when you start seeing logos with just the deer on it or the deer with antlers on it, that kind of thing, you can see that deer equipment lasting 30, 40 years is not at all unusual. So the lifespan of it is, you know, dependent on how it's maintained.
Yes. Well, and that's the challenge is to, it looks like the seller has maintained it in a, pristine condition. And I would hope that we could replicate that sort of,
his garage is pristine, so.
Yeah. No, is there an option to rent space in his garage?
That's what I wondered.
Currently, his house is sold, so he's in the process of moving out of it, and the shop will be occupied by another actually local excavating company, Jeff Hool. anybody knows him, he purchased his house because of that shop, and he has his own excavating engineering business. So currently I couldn't keep it there. I would have to haul it out of there and keep it at the treatment plant, and we would have to come up with a plan in the next, basically over the summer, come up with a plan for walling somewhere in or purchasing a metal building. I'll look at multiple options and present that to you guys.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you very much for approving that today. I know the guys will be excited and ready to go clean up some ditches.
Well, I think before we go, I want to make sure my position is clear. You know, your crew should not touch the equipment until they've been properly trained.
Okay, so what sort of training are you going to want to see? Because I know the certifications online to receive or classes to send them to aren't too strenuous. So I'm not sure what you're going to want to see as far as some sort of certification or licensing, as you might call it, for them to operate.
Well, you know, just thinking about where that piece of equipment could end up going in the, you know, the Blue Lake Springs area, you know, it could roll over, it could, you know, there was this tractor down in Valley Springs that, you know, didn't have the emergency brake set, and it ran through the house, you know, 2 days ago. So, you know, shit happens, and I would just think from a liability standpoint, both from a workers' comp standpoint, as well as to our shareholders and public in general, you know, having some proper training. I don't know what the, you know, the various options might be, but having something other than just jump in the seat and fire it up and, you know, run around the parking lot a few times, you know, is not enough in my mind.
Yeah. So we can all look into some sort of operating certification or licensing, as well as we can start scheduling like monthly safety meetings to be able to go over it and operating of it as well. And then also we could also work on how many hours they have to operate it before they can actually operate it out in subdivision, you know, operating it around the treatment plant or on our Borad property. Before they, you know, they reach a certain amount of hours as an operator before we have them operated next to people's homes and infrastructure.
Can our insurer offer any guidance there?
Our insurer just offered that quote for the piece of equipment. I'd have to talk to Lee, is it somebody else that handles the workers' comp then, or is it still, forget her name now, I know she just recently retired.
Yes, she just left. So, but yes, it is the same. It's two different entities, Allied and Zenith, but they're all under the J Prima.
Okay. So we'd have to contact Zenith and see what they would require possibly for operator training and, what that cost could be for them to become a operator.
Okay.
And you had said that one of the employees had heavy equipment certification.
Yeah, and did the heavy equipment training at various ski resorts, as well as operated them throughout the summer. And then I used to be a licensed operator from Butte Junior College when I did that up there, operated heavy equipment for years. So for the immediate future, I wouldn't allow anybody to operate it, but maybe Tim or myself until somebody would be properly trained, like Andy's saying, with some sort of certification with X amount of hours before we put them behind that piece of equipment in somebody's front yard or next to a home where it could cause substantial damage, as Andy was just saying, with emergency brake not being on, have a roll into somebody's new Tesla or into their garage. That would be pretty bad. Yes, right. Well, into more of the workers' comp insurance or injury liability insurance, and then what they may require for operator, as well as I'll research some more that we can get here in California, classes or online training.
Yeah. Does that sound acceptable to you, Andy?
Yeah, I think, you know, if he could come back to the board at the July meeting, you know, as he would with the enclosure options, that would be good.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everyone, for being here today.
Good to see you all.
Yeah.
Thank you for showing up. Yep.
It's always good to be seen. Other than
I know. Exactly. Literally.
Bye-bye.
Do we need to officially adjourn?
Oh, yeah. We need a vote. I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So, I'll second. Jeff.
Aye. We're good. Thank you.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Congratulations.